Congressman Richie Neal, my congressman from the 1st District of Massachusetts. Let's talk a little bit about international relations today. Let's talk first about the Iran deal. For it or against it?
Deliberating, and that's an honest answer. I have the actual entire proposal on my desk in Springfield, and I've been reading parts of it as we move along. I attended a briefing yesterday with Secretary Kerry, Secretary Liu, and Secretary Moynes, and it was attended by Democrats and Republicans. There was a flurry of questions back and forth, and I thought that Senator Kerry, or Secretary Kerry, yesterday did a very good job in presenting it, and at the same time, understanding that there's a long way to go in this process. It seems likely now that the Senate will go first, probably in the third week to the fourth week of September, and then the House will follow suit. So I think that individuals who never looked at the proposal and instantly declared their opposition ill-serve their constituents. And at the same time, I think that it's important for everybody to analyze exactly what's in front of us. I would note that one of the accusations that was rampant during the run-up to the Affordable Care Act was that people were saying, well, have you read the bill? They kept saying that, have you read the bill? Well, today, on the other side now, given the Iran proposal from President Obama, Republicans never took a look at the bill and said they were opposed to it.
Exactly.
Because they hadn't had it in their hands when they said they were against it.
Yeah. Yeah, so can we trust the Iranians?
I'm not sure of that, but I think that the Reagan philosophy here is very clear. Trust and verify.
Let's go to Greece. You know, I was recently took a trip over to Italy and spent a week in Florence, had a wonderful time while my wife was out looking at yet another vaulted arch. In the afternoon, I would sit in front of the television in the air-conditioned apartment we had rented, and I would watch either the BBC or the European channel, which was quite good, sort of their CNN. And they would show the Greek prime minister walking in and out, you know, Merkel walking in and out. And they did that for 5 days, and we didn't learn one thing about what was going on. But boy, there must have been some real, sorry to say this, Machiavellian things happening.
Well, it's clear that Greece is the weak sister in European Union. And at the same time, I was a bit baffled by the prime minister of Greece's position as it related to first the referendum question, which he secured the vote that he wanted and ended the week later by firing members of his cabinet who actually followed the mandate that offered to them through the referendum question.
Yeah.
And now he has done a bit of an about-face, acknowledging that it's a very difficult position, but he's also threatened to remove other ministers who do not embrace the fiscal rectitude that has been offered by European Union and by Greece, by Germany in particular. And Merkel's position, as you know, with the leading economy in European Union, has been really to be very hard on Greece, largely because in the past, they've accepted money in terms of bailout, but they have not lived up to the prescription that was offered to secure the money. So I think it's a very difficult time for Greece, and I don't see Merkel letting up.
We have a lot of Greek voters in the United States. It's always been part of the equation. Are you hearing from any of them, or are they
out? I can't say that I'm hearing from them, but it is amazing, I think, in America how successful the Greek community is, and they are noted for their small business achievements, and they're noted for their academic achievements. And the truth is that you can make some basic assumptions about Western history, and one of them is that much of a culture in the Western world comes from Greece. Our institutions tend to be derived from Rome, and the religious tenets tend to be revived from the Hebrew.
Mm.
And I mean, those are basic generalities that one learns in Civilization 101 when they entered college or Western history. And I think that when you travel to Greece, it is a beautiful country.
Wonderful.
It's something to see. And at the same time, I think there are legitimate concerns about government overpromising their citizens. And I think it's always one of the dangers in public life that when you continue to promise that you can live beyond income, that in the end it is irresponsible in terms of governance. So political parties always try to outpace each other with the promises they make, but building expectation there means you have to fulfill it. And the danger of that is that later on, somebody has to pay the bill.
Speaking of which, I think the one thing Americans find hard to swallow, because I think our natural propensity is to favor the Greeks in these kinds of arguments, is that Greeks don't seem to pay their taxes.
Well, it's almost an honored tradition in Southern Europe.
Yeah.
And it's not just the individual who might have the small business that's not declaring tax income, but at the same time, it's people that are very, very wealthy that almost celebrate the idea that you can benefit in a democracy from its institutions and simultaneously not pay your taxes. I mean, for me, that's very hard to fathom. And I also would go so far as to say that the part of the problem today is tax collections. And if I might give you a statistic that I think speaks so well of the American people, that in America, we have a compliance rate that is north of 85%. Now, that doesn't mean that people send a check to the IRS with a grin or with great happiness, but voluntary compliance in America is quite extraordinary amongst democracies in the world. And some would argue that that number is a bit higher. So that means that on or before tax day in America, people voluntarily pay their taxes. And it speaks well of our democracy as we seek to have a first-class military and first-class educational institutions and do research at the National Institutes of Health, Social Security, Medicare. Somebody has to pay.
But, Richie, don't you think that a lot of the reasons that people pay their taxes is they don't want to go to jail?
Well, I also think that it's made a great deal more efficient by the use of the computer. I mean, my committee, the Ways and Means Committee, we oversee the IRS. So we regularly interact with the IRS in terms of questions and answers. And in America, we can always argue about tax capacity. We're always going to argue about who should pay less and who should pay more. But that, at least, is a debate within the family that you have to pay. And I think that tax exposure as to how the burden is allocated is always a legitimate part of the political debate, and it's part of the political discussion. But not to miss the point, you can't say that you desire, you know, $3 trillion or $2.8 trillion worth of governance, but you only want to pay $1 trillion worth of expenditure.
Indeed. I want to talk to you about one thing. We only have 2 minutes, and that is you got a very interesting Union Station project going on in Springfield. Can you tell us all about it?
Well, I'm very proud of that initiative. I've been at that since I was a city councilor, and 37 or 38 years ago, I actually announced my first bid for public office, and I'm staring at the picture on the wall as you and I speak, and it was at Union Station, and that was in 1977, and Union Station has been closed since 1973, so it was reopened for that night. I pushed hard as a city councilor, pushed very hard as mayor with the help of Dave Starr, the Springfield newspaper, who was the president of Springfield Central and a good old friend. And upon becoming a member of Congress, I actually set aside the prescribed, quote, earmarked dollars, because they were earmarked for a purpose. And today, Union Station is well under construction. There's about a year to go. But I popped in earlier this week, to Union Station in Worcester to see how beautiful that is, because I represented much of Worcester County at different times. But Baltimore and Albany and New York, Washington, they've all done a remarkable job with their Union Stations. And I want to make sure that Union Station in Springfield, like South Station in Boston and other places, is returned to its historic beauty. And it's well underway. And I think that in October of next year, it's scheduled to open. And I had a great partner in Ted Kennedy and John Kerry. They were very helpful to me in putting aside those dollars. And actually, Mayor Sarno was very helpful as well.
Well, Richie Neal, always wonderful to talk to you. You are such a favorite of mine because, you know, you speak so well and you think so well. And it's always great. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John. And always great to be with you.